Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. It is time to chat with the one, the only, Craig Bowler, Jack. Hey, Bowler, first question out of the gate. Hands and I had a poll question about this earlier. If you had to choose between one band to listen to,
yeah,
Guns N' Roses, Metallica, or who was the other one? AC/DC.
I'd go Guns N' Roses, Paradise City.
There you go. I'm with you.
One more question, Bowler. This was posted yesterday. You're making a turkey sandwich. Mayo or Miracle Whip?
And by the way, before you answer, before you answer this, know that our opinion of you will be affected by how you answer this.
Don't let them sway all you, right, Bowler.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to impact the whole thing, but you know, I'm Mayo.
Yeah. Attaboy.
You knew you were a real man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To
Mayo.
The core.
Yeah.
Nobody's choosing Miracle Whip. It's worth a darn.
Miracle Whip. Miracle Whip. What are you, two?
We're making fun because Lloyd's on Team Miracle Whip.
Oh yeah, Team Miracle Whip.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, I've tried both, and you know, when you're a kid, you know, I kind of, my mom obviously was Mayo, and they would make those. Can you believe it, man? A Mayo sandwich. I mean, do you ever have a Mayo sandwich?
No, but we had somebody who called in yesterday who said they make Miracle Whip sandwiches. Just a big old slab of Miracle Whip between two pieces of bread.
Well, my mom, you know, again, everybody in different parts of the country have different things, you know. And so when you're a Missouri, Kansas guy growing up, all of a sudden, okay, come on and eat. I thought, well, where's the peanut butter and jelly? Well, we're having mayo today. Or then she would throw at me. God love her. I mean, you know, I just talked to her this morning, but I just never understood a potato soup and on a piece of bread with a slab of butter. You know, that was always a meal when my dad was out of town. I was like, oh boy, this isn't, you know, wasn't a fan of that one.
You didn't like the potato soup? Was that just a base cream soup?
Yeah, base cream soup, and the potatoes, you know, I thought should be kind of more soft, but they were more kind of like, were they raw? What happened here, man?
A little al dente with your potatoes.
Was it a busy day, Mom? What happened here? Come on.
Oh man!
But you know, you took it down, he ate it, and so there you go.
Yeah. My dad said that when my mom was was in the hospital delivering, and he had to have, you know, dinner ready, that he'd have a can of soup, and for every kid that walked in the door, he'd add a can of water.
Oh, here's another good one.
Sounds
my
about
dad,
right.
A big treat for my dad, and he thought it was a big treat for us. He'd walk in the room, like, you know, watching a game or something, and just pop open a couple of cans of Beanie Weenies and said, let's go. Okay. Here's a spoon. Here's a spoon. Have at it. There
That's
we go.
Funny.
Well, so that must have completely turned for you, because the DJ I know looks like he grew up in food royalty. Like the guy.
Well, the thing is, we grilled a lot of burgers and, you know, all that, and pork chops. And, you know, let's see. No, I'd say it, Sharon's specialty is chicken nuggets, and the kids always just clamored for that. She's got a special,
like,
recipe.
Homemade?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking of these Dino Bites. Scotty and I looked at each other like, hey, Sharon.
No, these are pretty good chunks, and they just had a special crust. They're always, they're always in demand or on the list of, like, hey, I got a birthday coming up. What do you think? So, you know, and plus they're good cold, too. I mean, when you put something in the fridge, you can't beat it.
Hey, Scotty, I got to ask you this, and I'll, Bowler, I kind of have you part of this conversation, but Scotty, did you ever hear or have finger steaks growing up?
Oh, yeah. It's like chicken fried steaks.
So I think that's an Idaho thing. Did you know finger steaks when you were growing up, Bowler?
Well, I tell you, we never cut them in like fingers, but we would have huge meals of chicken fried steak.
Yeah.
Always in a, you know, with potatoes, you know, mashed potatoes. But yeah, chicken fried steak was big.
But it's the same kind of like the cubed steak. And, you know, and you slice it or you deep fry it, and then that's where you get,
exactly.
No, we've had those. Yeah. Absolutely.
Chicken fried steak uses a Salisbury, right? Like a like a Salisbury steak?
Sometimes, or just a cube steak.
Or just a cube steak.
Yeah, I think that's what you use kind of your tougher meats for. Just deep fried, and that'll tender it up.
I'm so glad you like mayo, Baller. Gosh.
Yeah, mayo.
I was worried to ask, but I knew you'd come through.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I've had the Miracle Whip, but, you know, the mayo, though, just there's something there. There's something.
Well, you know what? It's always fun chatting after a big W, and frankly, that was not an easy game considering the circumstances around it. And the fact they won that game and won it going away, I think says a little bit about this team.
Well, I think that's the biggest point here. You know, I know there's panic when you lose to Luka and the Mavericks, and then you go and see what Booker and Chris Paul can do as a combination in the backcourt. But I got to be honest, you know, those are two tough teams who played, I thought, high-level defense against the Jazz. And I think the lesson there is, too, when you're not shooting the three, you've got to find something else. And I think, again, even with the struggle again from three last night, they have decided there's other ways they can score and be, make an impact and win ball games. The other part of it is I heard, well, look, you got to win on the road. Look, yeah, you do. But also the Jazz have the best home record in the NBA, so take advantage of the 6,000 fans that you have here. And they should take advantage of these next four at home, starting with Sacramento, who's lost five in a row. So, you know, again, you build up leads, and hopefully you go back and you can, you know, next week, again, looms large. And I don't know what LeBron's status is or Anthony Davis with the Lakers, but still it's a road game on the road against still a very stacked, Laker team, and those are going to be two – you know, highly, let's just say they're going to be highly viewed and watched, but also highly, they could be criticized by the media in L.A. and on the East Coast, depending on how the Jazz do. Look, the Jazz, they do have a target on their back, and they do have to find a way to get some threes to drop. But, defenses have gotten smart, right? They're coming out, putting a body on Boyan, and Joe's not getting a lot of shots away right now. And Conley, at 6'1", still they crowd him and they can double him. And that's what they're going to have to figure out, fight through. They haven't been able to pass out of trouble quite a bit of late. And so, yeah, concerns. But what I saw last night on a back-to-back, give me a break. That was big time. They looked fresh, determined, and they played good basketball last night.
This might be kind of a tough one. I wouldn't want an exact answer from you, Bowler, but you've called a lot of basketball. You've watched a lot of basketball. How many quarters have you seen won by 21 points?
Rare. I mean, seriously, hands, that's a rarity. I mean, I'm looking at 40-point quarters don't happen. 30, 35, you're going, man, that's pretty impressive. But going 40 and holding your opponent to 19, that's high level, by the way.
Yeah.
And that's what we saw in the third. The Jazz, usually Portland dominates your opponent in the first quarter, but the Jazz won that last night, which I thought was telling, especially after coming off the road, returning home late. From Phoenix the night before. That was impressive to me to really hold off a team, Portland, that usually attacks and makes a statement early. I think they averaged 31-plus. The Jazz held them to 29, which is, right at their average, but Utah scored 30, which I thought was incredible considering how fast these games are coming, right? But to put 40 on the board to start the second half, that's where you win a ball game, right there.
If you thought that there was going to be a moment where the legs were going to, they were going to lose their legs, I would have thought it was that third quarter. And the fact is, if you just walk somebody into that building and said some team played the night before and another team has had a couple days rest, it would look like the Jazz because, frankly, and I love Lillard, I love watching him play, but his shots were short in the third quarter. He looked like the tired player out there.
I thought both he and McCollum looked tired. I really did. Carmelo looked tired. There was a couple of young guys I was impressed with. The Simons kid out of high school, IMG Academy, I guess, is where he played down in Florida. And they took him a couple of years back. He's just so young, but I think he's a talent. But I didn't think Portland looked that crisp. They had lost two out of their last three to two high-level teams, man, the Bucks and the Clippers. And now add the Jazz to that list. So Portland fans are probably thinking the same thing. Can't they beat the elites? And, you know, that's what Jazz fans were thinking the other night with Dallas and Luka and, of course, Phoenix with Booker. I'd say this is a brutal schedule. The Jazz are playing 4 games in 6 nights, and this is just the way the COVID season is. And, again, going back to what Ricky Rubio said a few years back, you can't get too high, too low. And here the Jazz, you know, had picked up another win against, I thought, a very quality, high-level team that they've had struggles with. And they got it done on a back-to-back. That says a lot about grit, determination, and I think where the Jazz realize where they are. And that's something that's really important to talk about, is they know they're in a race. They know that this is a new level for this franchise, for this team, that each night everyone gives them their best shot. And that is always something to – I remember Carl and John talked about it in the day. You have to mature to that level. You have to build another level of mental toughness, Hans and Scotty, to really take it to the success level that they want to be, a Western Conference champion, an NBA champion. It doesn't come easy. It takes steps. And I think, again, we're watching this process. And last night was just, I thought, another step in that direction.
You know, when they beat Memphis and they did it without Donovan, we said, wow, they beat Memphis without Donovan and went through all those struggles to get there with their flight returning after being hit with birds and all that stuff. And last night they do it without Jordan Clarkson. I know this is a really tough one to categorize, Buller, but how important – I don't know if you want to place a number on him. You know, you got the starting five. He's looked at as the sixth man. People are arguing that Joe Ingles – would be the sixth man of the year over Jordan Clarkson. But what level of importance does Jordan Clarkson have with this team? And should we not be saying kind of the same thing? Wow, they did this without Jordan Clarkson.
Absolutely. I mean, Hans, you just said it. I mean, you know, Donovan didn't play in Memphis and they win. Clarkson didn't play against Portland and the Jazz win. All it tells me, again, is how deep this team is and how they're able to withstand, you know, a lineup change, right? I think Clarkson has struggled. I think he would tell you that of late, and probably for him to sit and watch and to take a breath probably may really be key for this stretch run. That's just me. You know, I looked at his road numbers, and he's, I think, you know, maybe pushing it a little bit too much. He was 5 of 18 from 3 on that 2-game road trip. And, you know, at times he tries to do so much. And Quinn gives him the green light. He doesn't want him to stop. But sometimes you have to take a breath and reset a little bit. And maybe this was a good time for that to happen. Not wishing any ill on a guy, right, with an ankle sprain. But sometimes a set and just a watch can be helpful. But also it helps the Jazz and let other players play. Mione got more minutes last night. You know, and Joe, I think, is very impactful with the ball in his hands. And, you know, he's been in and out of the starting lineup. And, man, what he does as a starter is remarkable. I mean, he's a natural. He can handle the basketball, and the team has total confidence in what he does. He only got 8 shots away on the road in those 2 games. And Joe's got to shoot the ball more. I think there's just no question. But when you have high-volume shooters like Donovan and Clarkson and even Mike, you know, sometimes those shots are difficult to come by. Man, but when Joe's on, he's a special player, and that tells you, Hans and Scotty, just what the Jazz can throw at you on a given night. I'm just glad if the three's not going, they figured it out to take the ball inside. They have strength. They can finish at the rim, and that's what we saw last night quite a bit, despite the fact the struggles from three. That's 3 straight games now, by the way. Since the Orlando first half, where they knocked down 18 threes, they've struggled, you know. They set an NBA record with 18 three-pointers made in a half, and since that point in time, they've had some struggles from three.
You know, the one thing that I think is interesting, though, is that in the second half of the game against Phoenix, they adjusted and got the offense going despite not being able to shoot the threes. Last night, again, 12 of, you know, 40-something, they're unable to hit the threes, but yet they still, you know, put up a ton of points and win that game going away. So we just lost Buller. We'll try to get him back here in a second. But I do feel like they've kind of figured things out to a certain extent on how to adjust a little bit when things aren't going well.
Which is a really good bit of news.
Yeah.
Because this is going to happen, and maybe it's happening in a game that's a must win. And if it is happening in a game that is a must win, you better be able to make an adjustment and say, all right, it's just not falling, and we better get active somewhere else. Because that is a question. We talked about it, I guess it would be Monday or Tuesday, when Donovan Mitchell made the statement, this is a make-or-miss league. He made that statement, and you and I talked about it and said, all right, well, what if it's a missing style game and it's a must win? Then what?
Got to adjust. Got to figure it out. And, Bowler, you just mentioned that three straight games, even though last night they still won and one going away, they still didn't shoot a great percentage from three. And I thought in the second half against Phoenix, they adjusted and got the offense going a little bit despite not shooting the three. Last night I thought they adjusted well, and I think Bogey trying to get to the rim has certainly helped out a little bit in that regard. But I do give this team a lot of credit, realizing if it's not falling from the outside, there's some other things you can do.
They have to, you know. Sorry, I lost you. I'm glad I don't like I like mayo. I don't know what would have happened if I didn't like.
Well, that's a good
miracle.
Point. That could have been
miracle
a problem.
With, yeah, could have been real big. But yeah, you look at the numbers again last night. 12 of 42, right, from three, and that's just not Jazz like. You know, they're 17 makes a night and 40%. They've dropped a bit down to 39, and they'll probably drop down to 37.5 by after last night, but. No, good teams have to adjust, bottom line. And Quinn Snyder's one of the best on the fly. Sometimes you got to go into the locker room to really figure it out. But when he gets that whiteboard out and starts, you know, drawing up these plays and trying to, you know, sometimes he steps away and lets the guys just, you know, talk about things before, and then he jumps in. But, you know, great teams are going to have to adjust, and teams now are going to throw everything they can at the Utah Jazz to disrupt the three-point shot, to throw Rudy off his base, down on the block. Faves, I think, has played some really good basketball with tip-outs and keeping balls alive with rebounds. He's got the soft hands. He's put some really good buckets back down for the Jazz in critical moments. And, he's starting to kind of get into a little more interesting flow for me on the defensive side and also helping out on the offensive side as well. You got to rebound. And the Jazz did that last night, which they had trouble with in Phoenix, right? And so I thought that, you know, you get second-chance points and keep teams off the boards. And the Jazz have guys that can rebound. Royce O'Neal, for one. Rudy is a monster, and what Derek brings as well. So what happened in Phoenix, especially rebounding, should not happen with this team. And hopefully, again, lessons learned as the season continues.
So I'm trying to think, to just put this in perspective, probably – I don't know, 1,000-plus quarters played so far this season in all games in the NBA. And I asked the question, 21-point advantage in a quarter. I know you know Tyson Ewing really well. At TyWing2 on Twitter. He's one of my favorite follows because he's a statistician nut. And I asked him, Bowler, I said, how many times has a team had a 21-point advantage in a quarter? It has been done 46 times so far this season. The Jazz are responsible for five of them.
Oh. How about that?
More than any team currently. Utah has five. Brooklyn has four. The Clippers have three. Philly has three. So it's pretty impressive. It's actually the fifth time this year that it's happened for the Jazz.
How about what you just said about the four teams you just mentioned? Are they all not in the discussion? Maybe the Jazz on the outside looking in on title contenders. No one wants to put the Jazz honestly in that category, hands right on the national media.
Yep.
But think of who you just mentioned. Those are the elites. Those are the big threes. You know, those are the teams that the national media tends to push on a nightly basis. About Titletown, but no, the Jazz are outside looking in. I don't think anybody in the Jazz locker room minds that. The diss or the disrespect, however you want to put it, is still something that is a motivator and a driver for this franchise and the fan base as well. So, you know, let it play out, but also if it does motivate, so be it. And I think the Jazz are with Quinn Snyder, one of the better teams that can adjust, and also those numbers you just said from Tyson tells you the explosive nature of what this team can do, the depth of this team. The three-point shot's one thing, but also adjusting, hitting mid-range shots with the floater from Conley and Donovan and Clarkson, and also the rim play. The Jazz have all three categories, by the way, which, again, is going to be an impact when it comes to postseason play. It just if it doesn't, yeah, it'll be a disappointment. And Donovan said it as you quoted him earlier, and he's a really good quote, by the way. And he kind of sees the big picture. What happened last year in Orlando in the bubble will not happen again. That's what he said in the bubble. And so the driving force continues. And I'm excited to see where it goes. Right now, the best record in the NBA, shooting for number 40. And it's a fun ride, guys. It's a fun ride.
That it is. Buller, we appreciate it as always. Thanks for joining us, and let's do it again next week.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Craig Buller, Jack, television voice of the Utah Jazz right here on the Zone Sports Network.